Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Our interesting subject for the program today is the fight for Native American voting rights in southeastern Utah, specifically San Juan County. And our host for the program today is our southeastern Utah correspondent, John Kovash. Here's John Kovash.
I'm John Kovash, southeast Utah news correspondent for Utah Public Radio. Sometime next year, a federal judge will decide whether Native Americans are still being shut out of political power in Utah's San Juan County, where now more than 52% of county residents are Navajo or Ute tribal members. The trial will be presided over by U.S. District Judge Robert Shelby, the same judge who struck down Utah's ban on same-sex marriages last December. At issue will be the claim that voting districts in the county have essentially been gerrymandered to assure a permanent white majority on the county council and school board. The Navajo Human Rights Commission has proposed new district boundaries that would give Indians a chance to win a majority of those seats. San Juan County is home to the mostly white towns of Blanding and Monticello, and to the south, the tiny tribal towns of Montezuma Creek, Aneth, Bluff, and White Mesa. As far back as 1972, the county was challenged in federal court, accused by Navajos of inhibiting tribal members from running for public office. In 1983, the U.S. Justice Department forced the county to abandon its at-large voting districts because they had the effect of diluting the Indian vote. In 1997, it was even proposed to split the county in two, creating a white county and a reservation county. Now the county's back in court again. In this program, we will talk with Steve Bose, attorney for the Navajo Nation, and with three residents of San Juan County who have become historical local figures: Ken Slate, former crony of author Ed Abbey; Mark Maryboy, the first Native American to hold elected public office in Utah; and Phil Lyman, a current county commissioner recently notorious for leading the ATV protest into Recapture Canyon. We start with Steve Bose, one of the attorneys handling the voting rights lawsuit. We talked in his office in downtown Durango, Colorado.
The Constitution requires reapportionment of election districts after each decennial census. The decennial census is something that's required to be conducted by the Constitution. And the reason that that's done is to ensure what's called one man, one vote. You know, if you have a district that has X number of people in it, an election district that has Y number of people in it, you're supposed to find ways of balancing them so every person's vote counts approximately equally. So after each decennial census, governments are supposed to engage in this process of reapportioning election districts, changing the boundaries to ensure that there is that kind of population equivalence between districts. And San Juan County, with regard to the school board election districts, of which there are five, hasn't done that for 20 years, and only did it in with regard to the three county commission election districts after it was brought to their attention that they hadn't done it for almost 30 years. And the reapportionment that they did doesn't comply with constitutional standards. So the purpose of the lawsuit is to ensure that reapportionment is done and that it's done correctly. If it's done correctly, what will happen is the Indian population in the county has increased dramatically over the last 30 years. And so Indian voters in each of the election, in the majority of the election districts, will represent the majority of voters in those districts.
My understanding is a fair amount of case law has been established in this regard.
Well, the Voting Rights Act has been around since the 1960s, and there's been a lot of litigation, mostly in the South. So the procedures for figuring out whether election districts are correctly apportioned have been hammered out pretty thoroughly in a number of United States Supreme Court decisions. And a lot of it is a fairly simple math calculation. Experts who understand census data look at the census data over a period of time and look at how populations have changed. And then they actually have software. It's GIS-based. You can go in with this software and create maps that are accurate down to a very minute level and draw boundaries for where election districts should lie to make sure that you have a rough equivalency of population in the different election districts.
How is it the same and how is it different? You have, a black or Hispanic population marginalized in the ghetto versus a Native American population marginalized on the res.
Well, one of the big differences is that if you're talking about urban populations, you're usually talking about fairly compact areas. So you might be looking at an election district that encompasses a matter of tens of square blocks in a city. The difference in San Juan County is that the county is enormous, and people are scattered all over. There are large areas that are not populated, the areas along the Colorado River, for example.
Was there anything that prompted the Navajo Nation to act at this particular time versus 3 years ago or 3 years from now? Or
they put on a big push in 2000 to make sure that Navajos were properly counted because historically they had been undercounted. The nation has continued that process since then. They also started the process of looking at other kinds of election districts besides the congressional, in addition to the congressional districts. So they started looking at county commission election districts and state school board election districts. It came to their attention that there hadn't been any adequate reapportionment in San Juan County, Utah for a very, very long time.
Can you characterize some of what you're going to have for this case, aside from the raw numbers?
When you bring a Voting Rights Act claim, the court's going to look at sort of the historical, factual context in which the voting discrimination has taken place. You look into things like historical discrimination in education, in health care, on all kinds of different levels. For example, Indians weren't, by law, allowed to vote in Utah until 1957. Indians had become citizens of the United States in the 1920s, but several states, including Utah, refused to allow them the right to vote, period. In Utah, that lasted until 1957, and we're sort of dealing with the long-term impacts of that kind of discrimination even now. Education is another example. Our co-counsel, Mr. Swenson, in the 1970s, recognized there was a problem with the fact that the county wasn't providing adequate schools for Navajos in the Navajo reservation portion of the county. And so a lawsuit was brought that forced the county to build a high school in Montezuma Creek, Utah, in Monument Valley, and more recently out at Navajo Mountain. So all those kinds of discrimination, those historical facts, will be a part of what the court will have to look at. I think there are people in San Juan County who have real concerns about what they view as people who are entitled to services from the county, but who do not pay taxes for those services. And a lot of people look at that and see this huge logical disconnect. You know, why should they get services? Why should we have to build high schools? Why should we have to pave roads when the people who are going to be served by those facilities don't pay taxes to the state, don't pay taxes to the county, and are served, arguably, by this totally separate sovereign government, the Navajo Nation? You know, why doesn't the Navajo Nation provide this stuff? It's not racism. I think it's an inability to sort of go beyond what seems like this real logical inconsistency. You know, they don't often recognize that as citizens of the United States, as citizens of the state of Utah, Indians who live within the county have rights under the federal constitution and under the state constitution. and the county has to make good on those constitutional obligations. So I did a couple of cases against the county when I was living over there. The county was collecting a couple of different types of taxes on the reservation that they had clearly no legal authority to collect from Indians. And I can recall having a meeting with the county commission while we were, this was in the 1980s, when we were in the middle of the litigation where, and I think it was Cal Black, basically said, well, if we can't collect these taxes, then we're not going to provide the services. You know, that is often the reaction of county governments when they're told they can't collect these taxes. It's not precisely true that Indians aren't paying taxes. Individual Indians may not pay taxes, but there have been huge, huge amounts of money that have been taken out of the reservation in the form of oil and gas severance taxes and so on that went into the county coffers. So sure, individual Indians may not be paying income tax. Is the county deriving no revenue from the reservation lands? Not true. You know, there are huge amounts of revenues that over the years they've taken off the reservation. You know, maybe it's some calculation was made that as the oil and gas wells sort of play out and the revenues start dipping, it's going to cost more to provide services to the southern part of the county than the revenue that you're taking out of those gas wells. So some of these issues are purely math issues. So we have some motions pending that are basically along those lines of saying to the court, hey, look at the numbers, look at the mapping data, give us judgment on those issues. How those motions are resolved could have an enormous impact on how long this goes on.
Any kind of chance that this could get settled?
There's always a chance that the cases could get settled, and we are always open to any kind of reasonable settlement offers that come our way. But none have come our way.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're hearing a series of reports from our southeastern Utah correspondent, John Kovash. Very interesting and important topic, voting rights for Native Americans in San Juan County in southeastern Utah. In that county, now more than 52% of residents are Navajo or Ute tribal members. And at issue, in an upcoming federal court case, a federal judge will decide whether Native Americans are still being shut out of political power in San Juan County. The Navajo Nation is claiming that voting districts in the county have been gerrymandered to assure a permanent white majority in local elections. We heard there from Steve Bowes, attorney for the Navajo Nation. Coming up, John Kovash's interviews with three residents of San Juan County with differing opinions. Ken Slate, legendary former crony of equally legendary author Ed Abbey. Mark Maryboy, the first Native American to hold elected public office in Utah. And Phil Lyman, a current county commissioner, recently famous for leading an ATV protest into Recapture Canyon. If you'd like to comment on this issue, there are several ways you can do that. upraxis@gmail.com, upraxis@gmail.com. And you can join us at 1-800-826-1495. We're on Twitter at Utah Public Radio. And we have this comment has come in from Dave. Dave says, looking ahead to the conversation with Phil Lyman, he says, based on Mr. Lyman's recent behavior in Recapture Canyon, he apparently has little concern about sites that are sacred to Native Americans, so it's doubtful that he's too concerned about the voting rights of Native Americans. Unless I miss my guess, he probably believes that they, Native Americans, are cursed with a dark skin. But what I'd like to know is, did Mr. Lyman or any of his cronies break the law when they re-entered Recapture Canyon? And if so, have any of them been held accountable for their actions? That's the commented question of Dave. That interview, John Kovash's interview with Phil Lyman, will be coming up in about 20 minutes. More following the break.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Cache Valley ENT and the Allergy Clinic, with providers Dr. Wood, Benyon, and Blotter, and PA Lindsay Humes, practicing ear, nose, and throat medicine, allergy services, and facial, plastic, and reconstructive surgery, 753-7880. and Utah Festival Opera and Musical Theater, July 9 through August 9 in Logan, with 128 festival events, including concerts, classes, and performances of Les Miserables, The Student Prince, Oklahoma, and Vanessa. Details at utahfestival.org.
BBC.
BBC.
Hello, I'm Ros Atkins. Welcome to World Have Your Say.
Coming up on Outlook after the news, the Somali journalist who witnessed the murder of his boss.
Hello, I'm Steve Evans. Welcome to Business Daily. Coming up, the big fight.
This is Owen Bennett-Jones with NewsHour.
The BBC is your gateway to the world, and this is your BBC station.
Monday through Saturday afternoons at 3 on Utah Public Radio.